If you've ever spent any amount of time on either Ford or Belleville Lake, then you've probably seen or smelled one of the immense algae blooms known to blossom there. I'm David Fair, and welcome to Issues of the Environment, a regular Wednesday feature heard only on 89.1 WEMU. The algae blooms and bacterial contamination can be found in lakes and rivers throughout the state and in other places around the country. Why do these algae blooms occur? What is or is there a solution? Our guest this morning will give us some of those answers and certainly a better understanding of the issue at hand. University of Michigan professor John Lehman has been conducting research on the control of bacteria in local waterways, such as the Huron River. Good morning.
Good morning. It's nice to be here.
Is this a naturally occurring phenomenon, or are we creating the situation with any one of the many ways we choose to pollute our waterways?
Well, these are naturally occurring organisms. We exaggerate their abundance by adding excess nutrients into lake waters. Some of the nutrients are supplied naturally by dissolution from the sediments and soils of the lakes themselves.
You served on the board of the Huron River Watershed Council several years ago, and that was around the time where Ford Lake was hit especially hard. Since that time, you've been collecting information on the problem. What's the difference between what we knew about the genesis of the problem then and what we know now?
Well, what I realized then was that this was a big issue for the local population, and I realized that the management strategy that was being applied to the lakes was something that was born in the 1970s, and it was really a fine strategy, a scientific theory at that time. But science advances, and there have been some improved understanding about what causes these algal blooms, and perhaps some of that improved understanding needs to be incorporated into a new management strategy.
Well, let me ask you this. Isn't it true that algae can be beneficial for the ecosystem in and around the waterways?
Well, that's absolutely true. If you don't have algae, which are the base of the food web, you may not have the food webs and the food chains that support organisms in the lakes that people enjoy, like sport fisheries. So they absolutely are important as any primary producer, as any plant is to a terrestrial ecosystem.
Have you found any alarming mutations or disintegration in healthy living environments for our creatures?
No, I haven't. It's the situation that we find is one of almost a superabundance of the organisms, in which case they can cause nuisance problems. If they congregate in large masses, they can float to the surface and they can decompose along the shoreline, which causes not only a foul smell and unsightly looking conditions, but it can also lead to local loss of oxygen, as any kind of decaying vegetation could lead to a loss of oxygen. And that has consequences in terms of loss of fish habitat, and so it's almost like an embarrassment of riches if you have too much of the plant material.
In your most recent work and testing of some of the waterways in the area, what have you found? Are we being lulled into a sense of security by weather trends?
Well, that's an interesting question because, as you notice, over the last few days we've had a really cool spate of weather, and the fact is the air temperatures and the rain falling on the lakes are much cooler than the lake water at this time of the year. So not only are the lakes being cooled, but they're being stirred by this cold weather down to the very bottom. This is the case of the man-made lakes, the Ford, Belleville, Barton Pond. And as a result of that mixing and stirring of the lake water, in a sense, the hands of time are being turned back a little bit in the seasonal progression of the algal growth. And what we'll see is an algal bloom that was starting being somewhat slowed in its tracks and turned back, only to return again when the warm weather conditions.
We're approaching 90s by the end of the week, so it may happen that quickly.
Well, they'll start to recover, but in the short run, the water is going to appear much more transparent. Certainly, it's going to be cooler, and possibly people are going to find some improved fishing conditions because the fish can see the lures of so much further in the water.
Our guest this morning is a professor in the Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at the University of Michigan. Jim Lehman has been researching how to control bacteria in local waterways. So along those lines, what is our first and perhaps best line of defense?
Of course, one of the things that you have to recognize that these are plants, and plants need fertilizing nutrients in the same way that one fertilizes agricultural crops. And so if you add too much nutrient to lakes and rivers, you're going to have a superabundance of these microscopic plants. So anything that can be done to cut down on the amount of phosphorus in particular that's being added to our waterways can lead to a reduction in the amount of plant growth.
Is it going to take some sort of legislative or ordinance step in order to create better controls in the future?
Or there are regulations that are in place, and the state has been applying regulations to the municipalities that operate wastewater treatment plants, for instance, to cut down on the amount of nutrient that they are discharging. But there are nutrients that come from other things, just as ordinary citizens who might over-fertilize their lawns, construction situations where the runoff isn't adequately controlled. Or, and truthfully, some of this results from the plain fact that during the summertime the water builds up a thermal stratification, is what we call it, where warm water floats on top of cold water. And the deeper, colder water doesn't get oxygenated well because it's cut off from the atmosphere. And decomposition processes lead to a loss of oxygen. When the oxygen is lost, phosphorus and ammonium comes out of the mud. And that internal process loads the lakes with nutrients.
As a summertime lake monger myself, is there something or anything I should be taking into consideration from a health and safety standpoint?
Well, it is the case that certain species of algae, when they bloom in high abundances, can exude toxic chemicals into the water. Now, we haven't encountered any specific instances of that at the present time, so I don't want to cause people to be alarmed. But it's something that we want to keep an eye on and make sure that we don't start having large toxic blooms of certain species of algae.
So given all the research you've done and will continue to do, give us a current assessment, your assessment, of the health of our waterways in the local area, at least the ones you've worked with.
Well, these are lakes which have very successful warm water sport fisheries. We'd like to keep them in a healthy condition and do the best we can to improve the water quality so that people can enjoy them for many years into the future.
John Lehman is professor in the Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at the University of Michigan. John, thank you for your time. I'm David Fair, inviting you to listen in to Issues of the Environment next week. Issues of the Environment is a regular Wednesday feature heard only on 89.1 WEMU.